Hello and welcome to What the Faux Travel Podcast with Nick and Amy. This is a mini episode about the cheapest way to visit Machu Picchu.
Hi guys, thank you for joining us for another episode of What the Faux Travel Podcast. Nice to have you in our company.
Now, we have done a Peruvian episode before, so we thought we wouldn't go into too much detail in terms of the whole country, because that was our second ever episode with our guest James. But we thought this is a bit of a minefield in terms of getting to Machu Picchu, so we wanted to break it down to you and let you know that you don't have to pay thousands of pounds to go on some sort of trek. If you just want to see it and you don't have much time or much money, there's definitely a way you can do it, which we'll explain to you in this episode. But Nick, what is Machu Picchu?
That's a very good question. I'm sure most of you know, or at least you know the picture, you've seen it online. But let me tell you exactly what Machu Picchu is. It's an ancient city built by the Incan Empire around the 15th century, and it was abandoned a century later at the time of the Spanish conquests, when the Europeans, of course, conquered a lot of South America. Although it was always known by local people, the Spanish actually didn't know about this place until 1911, when an American man, Hiram Bingham, Hiram Bingham discovered it, like I said, in 1911. So as far as white Western men were concerned, men and women, it was undiscovered until 1911. But of course, it was built, like I said, in the 15th century.
That was very interesting.
I believe you.
Nearly as interesting as Machu Picchu itself on the day.
This is going to be controversial. Well, look, one of the reasons why we wanted to revisit this is really to give you the information, because like Amy said, we've done Peru before, but that was when we hadn't visited, so we knew nothing about Peru.
So by done, you mean we've done an episode on it?
We've done an episode about Peru, but we'd never been there before, so we knew nothing about it. Now we have been there, it's great to revisit this, to go into a bit more detail. But did we like Machu Picchu or not? Well, you can tell from what Amy's saying, not really. But we'll go into the reasons why.
It was hella boring. But no, like, you're going to go because people go to World Wonders. And I get it. Like, we've been to all of them except for the Wall of China. And I'm sure if we ever go to China, we're probably going to go to the wall so we can go, we've been to all of the World Wonders. But really, they're not our type of traveling. We've said this many times. For us, it's more of a cultural experience. For example, if we're in Mexico, to sit on the side of the street eating tacos at a taco stand with the locals and conversing with them and just getting to know them, that's what we want to do when we travel. Others, and we appreciate everybody's different, others like to do this sort of thing, so we think it's a really important episode to put out there. We're not saying don't go, we're just saying we personally didn't really enjoy it. So yeah, this is going to be an episode all about how you can do it, how expensive it is. And if you don't have much money or time, then we've got a really good option for you.
We got you. We got you covered. Should we start with the most famous way, or the most well-known way to do it is the Inca Trail. And a lot of people talk about this. A lot of people have done it. And it is a 5 to 7 day trek from the city or town of Cusco in Peru, okay? And yeah, it's a really, really popular, famous way to do it. And I guess people that have done it would say it's the only way to do it properly. It's the way you earn it, you know, by walking all the way there. And you do learn a lot about the Incan people on the way. We don't really like trekking that much, so we just knew, you know, a 5 to 7 day walk was not going to be our thing. But we also knew it was quite expensive. The cost was actually more of an issue than the walk itself. So Amy, tell us how much, typically, if you looked online with a tour company, it could cost you to do the Inca Trail.
Yeah, and to clarify this entire episode, when we're talking about currency, we're going to be talking in US dollars. Now, looking at just a typical tour here in the UK, we're not looking at seasons because, you know, the price changes. Currently, you can get it from around $870. That's the price starting from. That's not what it's going to be. But I have heard of people that have been paying something like $1,500. I've heard some really crazy prices out there. Well, crazy in my eyes. I wouldn't pay it for anything to trek somewhere.
But we've also heard that some people can just turn up, and I wouldn't recommend this because you can't guarantee you're going to actually go and do it. We've heard people, they don't book it online in their own country. They go to Peru. When they get to Cusco, they find like a local tour company, book it. And I've heard like as little as like $200. So the price can vary. But like I said, we've gone with a tour company that we know. We know it's a real company. You can buy the ticket today online if you wanted to. Like Amy said, around $800. So that's why we didn't do it. It's not cheap.
Also, we're not here to review, but we have heard very mixed reviews. We haven't done it ourselves, so we can't tell you what the experience was like, but we've met people who hated it, and we've also met people who loved it, and it was the highlight of their trip. So the one thing to know, though, is that because you are trekking, there will be someone there carrying a toilet that you all use. There aren't going to be many actual toilets for you to use. That was one of the main things that put me off. And no shower. So we weren't up for that option.
That's it. It's going to be basic. It's going to be an adventure, but it's going to be basic. And yeah, we've heard rumors that a guy carries the toilet, literally carries everyone's poo and wee on his back. I can't believe that's a real thing, but we've heard it. But yeah, like if you like all that adventure side of things, then you're going to love it. It'll be one of the best things you've ever done.
Great. And the second option is to get the train. Now, there's a few different places you can get it from and different options that you can take. You can either go from Cusco or a place called Ollantaytambo.
Very good. Well done.
Ollantaytambo. I think I'm saying that right. I'm making it sound African. But if you do get the train from Cusco, just know it's from a place just outside of Cusco. So the train station isn't actually in the center of Cusco, just so you're aware if that's something you want to do. But the train is going to cost you minimum $140, and that's a return ticket. But there are more expensive options. So you could go on the luxury train, guys, and you could pay $950.
Whoa.
For a return ticket. Now, just how luxurious is this train for $950? That's what I want to know.
And it's a 2 or 3 hour train there and the same back. And that's a lot of money for one train journey in one day.
But hey, if this is your lifelong dream, top of your bucket list, and that's how you want to do it, then fine, you go do that. That sounds great.
Oh, it would be a special experience, don't get me wrong. Now, before we go on to the third secret, extra special option, I always thought there was only those two options, Inca Trail and train.
So did I.
But no, my friends, we have found the ultimate backpacking way to get to Machu Picchu.
And when we first found this out, it was from our friend Leo. Hi, Leo, from Brazil. Thank you for telling us this option, because it sounds like something from the film The Beach, where, you know, only we were going to be doing it, super secret. And we got the bus to this special place, and then basically there were tons of travellers. So it is a really popular way to do it now, which is good because you kind of go on this adventure together. But yeah, Nick, tell us about this adventure. How do you get there? What do you do? Tell us.
I'm really glad you asked me that question. First things first, speak to your accommodation, your hostel. They'll know exactly what ticket to sell you. You tell them you want to get the bus from Cusco to the Hidroelectrica. It's like a power plant.
Hidroelectrica.
An electric power plant. It sounds mysterious. It's, you know, like get off the bus at the power plant and then head into the forest. So it was like a 6 or 7 hour bus journey. You're in like a little minibus from Cusco. Takes you all through the mountains on these windy roads. Take some motion sickness tablets if you're not very good in a car, because it
so
is
windy.
It's up and down. It's windy. But you drive through some amazing landscapes.
Can you remember what I did on the return journey?
I
had lunch just before we got on the bus.
Oh, yeah.
And guys, if you've been to South America, you'll know that there are windy roads there. And I was absolutely fine on all the roads. But this road did make me sick. And people kind of talk about it. It's quite notorious. So if you do get a little bit sick from being in vehicles, definitely take those tablets.
Yeah, and just so you know that, just be prepared. Don't be scared by the journey, but just be prepared for it.
No, it's not scary.
And then the bus drops you off, and all the other loads of tourists that are with you. The bus drops you off at a power plant where you then walk along train tracks for 3 hours.
It sounds like we're making this up.
Yeah, but it's a proper way that loads of people do it. So we've paid, what was it, like $20, $25 for a return bus journey from Cusco to this power plant.
That's pretty good going though, isn't it? 14 hours in total on a bus for $25.
That's very good. And then obviously walking is free. But you walk along train tracks, and when a train comes, you just have to watch out for it, step off the train tracks, and in some points it's quite narrow, and then you let the train go past, and then you carry on. And you're walking through some beautiful mountains over bridges, lakes. It's a really beautiful walk, and it did feel like a proper adventure.
It really did. And actually, at one point, a lot of travellers stopped because you can see Machu Picchu from a certain viewpoint. Do you remember that? Where we were all stopped and just around a bunch of travellers, like so many different languages were being spoken. It was really cool. And everybody was just watching Machu Picchu from a distance. But just quickly going back to the train, yes, it can get a little bit narrow at one part of the walk, but it's still absolutely fine, you know. But the train does have a very loud beep on it, so I don't think you're ever going to be caught by it. It's an old train, so it's very loud. You're going to hear it's there. So just be aware, like you would around any other vehicle in normal life, and you'll be fine.
Absolutely. Once you've walked your 3 hours on this Incan adventure through these mountains, which, yeah, the Andes Mountains in Peru, like, they are beautiful. They look quite unique from the mountains in other parts of South America, I think. Just like really tall and kind of thin, but beautiful and, yeah, amazing.
A little Avatar-like.
Yes, very good observation, like the floating mountains in the clouds, yeah. And after this 3 hour walk, you're quite tired by this point, but you get to the town. We're not there yet. We're not at Machu Picchu yet. You get to the town of Aguas Calientes.
Yes, well done.
Which means
hot water.
It does. And I was really impressed when we first arrived to this place. It's like this quite big, like built up, because of all the tourists, of course. It's quite a developed city or town, but in the middle of these stunning mountains. It was quite special to see. And at that point, we got an Airbnb for the night, and we slept that night in Aguas Calientes.
Do you remember that it was actually quite like a ski town?
It was. It felt very alpine. You're right.
Yeah, it was an alpine town. Just like the style of all the buildings, very kind of wooden and, yeah, very alpine-like. It was really cool. Really good food options there. And there's kind of two sides to the town where there's the tourist side, but then the other side of the river we were staying, and it was more of the local side, and there's loads of great local food stalls, and there's a big pitch in the middle where all the men are playing football and the women as well. It was really good little town. We really, really liked Aguas Calientes. And also, just to mention, if you do get the train, this is where the train stops, in Aguas Calientes. And then there's a little bit of a walk from the train station into the center of the town, or obviously you can get a taxi. I'm not sure how much that is because we were still walking by this point.
Great, good information. And by this point, I'm enjoying this and I'm impressed with where we are. It looks beautiful. I'm excited for the next day for Machu Picchu. So we woke up early the next day, and we should mention at this point, you would need to go online and book your Machu Picchu ticket in advance, and you have to select a slot. We were told, well, we thought it would be best to go as early as possible. I think they start letting people in around 6 a.m.-ish. But actually, I think it's better in the afternoon, because in the morning it can be very misty and very foggy. And then when the sun is out, it like burns away a lot of the clouds, a lot of the mist, and then it's clearer, we're told, but you just have to be lucky with the weather. But to get from Aguas Calientes, you have to get the bus up to Machu Picchu. You can walk, but it's a very long, steep walk.
It is a steep walk. So the bus is $10 each way. So you can buy a $20 ticket, which is obviously a return. The bus takes 35 to 40 minutes. So it zigzags its way all the way up to the top. It is very windy. So again, if you get sickness, make sure you have your tablets with you. But the journey up, if you're walking, it's just steps, guys. It's steps, steps, road that you cross. Steps, 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 road that you cross. it's intense, and seeing people do it, and then when they got to the top, they just looked so tired. So we decided, even though we're on a budget, we decided we'll get the bus up there but walk down to save the extra $10. And I'm so glad that we did, because we got both options, both experiences. And even walking down, guys, like, my legs were really hurting and really shaking by the end of it. So yeah, I would recommend doing both though. But only if you're super fit would I say go up there, because you need that energy to go round Machu Picchu as well, because there's lots of steps in there. So that's the way that you get from Aguascalientes to Machu Picchu itself. Now, how much is the entrance into Machu Picchu?
Yeah, well, we paid, it was around $40 to $50, wasn't it?
Yeah, about yeah, $40. Yeah, I think it was $43. And that's your ticket entrance. As Nick said, we picked a time slot. We went for 7 a.m., and it's weird, once you're in there, there's like marshals that hang around in certain points. And once you go past that marshal, you can't come back again.
Yes.
So as you're walking around, don't go past one of the marshals unless you're finished with that area, if that makes sense. Because it's like a little village, obviously. It's an Incan village, so you can walk around it. But yeah, like I said, you can't come back on yourself. So make sure you get the full experience and kind of walk around slowly as well. There's lots of people taking pictures, as any other World Wonder. It's intense. It was actually the most intense World Wonder we've visited. And that kind of in turn made it the worst one for me. I didn't really like it. I just feel like everyone's there to take photos, not to learn. There's guides hanging outside as well. So you can just like pay for a guide as you're walking in. If you're trying to do everything on a budget, but still really want to learn from the guides, and that there'll be people waiting outside for you, trying to sell to you. I'm not sure of the price because we didn't go with one, but I'd say haggle with them. If they give you a price, don't go with the first price that they give you. And yeah, then you can go in and enjoy it. All your efforts to get there, go and enjoy it, guys.
Yeah, and I would say once you find a good spot, like to get a good view and to get a picture, even if it's cloudy at that point, just keep your spot and just wait for the weather to clear and then take a picture. And yeah, it is an intense, not very nice, when we were there anyway, it wasn't a very nice atmosphere. People pushing past each other to get a picture.
And shouting at each other if they're in the way and being really aggressive. But yeah, you know, that was just our personal experience. On the day that you're there, there might be some happy people there.
And it didn't help that the weather was terrible. It was so cloudy and it was raining. So we really didn't get a good view of it. At times, the clouds did clear just enough to kind of make it all out. And so that didn't help the experience. But it was just a combination of the people, like not very nice atmosphere. We couldn't really get a great view. When we did get a good view, it's just a load of rocks. It's well, because what it is, yeah, it is an old town built of rocks, obviously, but it's all kind of been rebuilt and restored, so you can see what it looked like before, which is great. But so really you're just looking at some rocks that were built recently.
A construction site, if you will.
A construction site. We live next to a construction site. I see that enough every day as it is. But they've kind of rebuilt the houses and the villages, apart from they haven't put the roofs on, have they? And yeah, I mean, okay, I'm being silly. Like, it does look quite cool. It just didn't blow us away. What really impressed me was just everything around it, like the whole setting, the walk there, the mountains, the rivers, the train, that track that we walked along over bridges. The whole setting where it was in the mountains, I thought that was amazing. That was beautiful. And because like, I'm not Incan, I'm not South American, I don't have a strong connection to this place. So it just didn't move me.
Yeah, exactly. It's not something that we learn about in school. Like, for example, I always wanted to go to Auschwitz because that was something I learned in school and it meant a lot to me. You know, my ancestors and my people were in those camps and, you know, really struggling. So it's something that I wanted to learn about. But I have no personal connection, where we were traveling there with our Brazilian friend Leo, and he had way more of a connection to it, and I like, he was enjoying it way more than us. So yeah, it's just understanding the history and all of that behind it. But a good bit of advice for World Wonders is to really listen to the quote of, don't wait for the destination and enjoy the journey, because the journey of it was beautiful. Doing that walk along the train tracks, seeing all the Avatar type mountains, really lush green because they have a lot of rain there, that was all stunning. But then when we got to Machu Picchu, you think, oh my God, something magical is going to happen, and then it doesn't. So just really enjoy that journey while you're there. One thing I did remember, though, why did the Incan people settle in this particular place? Can you remember that?
Is it something to do with water?
Yeah, I believe so. Drinking water?
Oh, you don't know? Well, this is a fun game. I think
we
you're
learned
right.
A really fun fact, and I'm trying to remember what it was.
I think it was about natural drainage of drinking water.
It was really clever. Was it something that the water came up in the clouds and ran down somewhere, so they always had a flow of water?
Yeah, the water.
Or was it something to do with the river?
The water went up into clouds and it came down as rain.
You are lols. I'm going to go find out. Okay, so we have our answer. Nick, do you want to explain it?
Yeah, so it was about water. We were correct. They had natural sources of water in that location. So it wasn't just rain alone they were relying on. And they were actually able to build terraces into the hills. So if you think of a steep hill, they're actually able to kind of cut out lots of terraces. So they've got flat land going up the hill. And you see that a lot in Southeast Asia, especially if you're doing it manually with no proper equipment. It must take so long and such an effort to turn these hills into terraces. But that meant they were able to grow their own food, and they were actually expert aqueduct engineers. So they were able to channel natural sources of water through the city via subterranean and open canals for agriculture and human consumption.
Pretty impressive considering all those years ago they were alive. I just think that's amazing. You know, this is a time when they're worshipping gods and the sun god and stuff like that, but they're still clever enough to work out how they can drain all this water so they can use it. I just think that's really impressive. Another little fact is that water was a sacred element to the Incas. It represented fertility. So actually, I believe a lot of Peruvian women, if they are looking to get pregnant, they actually go to Machu Picchu, don't they?
Ooh, I don't know that, but let's say yes.
I think we learned that on the day and we saw a few pregnant women there.
They better get the bus up.
Yeah, true. You don't want to be doing that. I mean, you need to be fit and everything, but you don't want to be doing that.
And I did see, it was doing our research there, there is another theory as well that where it's positioned is because it was, you know, high in the mountains, isolated, and an easy place to defend if you're being attacked.
Yes, I did read that as well. Anyway, that is our Machu Picchu episode. So you can either do the Inca Trail for anything from $800.
Hard work, expensive.
You can go to the train, minimum price, return $140.
Lazy, expensive.
Or you can do it the way that we did for $70, get the bus, then walk it, then get the bus up, but walk back down, if that made any sense.
Fun, adventure, cheap.
Good little mini review there. That's our episode about Machu Picchu. Let us know on Instagram or Facebook if you've been there yourself, what you thought of it, and if you knew about this secret little hydroelectrica way that we went.
And before we wrap up, because this is going to be our only chance we've got to talk about Peru, I don't want to go into details, but
oh God,
it's as often everyone's, or a lot of people have told me, it's their favorite country in the world. Maybe expectations were high. Didn't feel it myself. We went to quite a few places. Paracas, no. We went to Ica, which nearby is Huacachina, the oasis desert.
Dirty.
Dirty, smelly, expensive. Lima, scary, not
needs
very nice.
Needs better transport.
Needs a metro. Lima needs a metro big time. There's a nice bit you can walk along the seafront and you can go to Love Park, which is quite nice along there. Miraflores, I think, is that part of town. But Lima overall, nope. I think there was somewhere else we went.
Cusco was probably the best place.
Yeah, I liked Cusco. It was, even though it's very touristic, it was still a beautiful, charming, like typical South American indigenous town. I did like Cusco. Apart from that, I mean, Peru is cheap. You can eat for very cheap. But no, we weren't that impressed with Peru, to be honest. Goodbye.
And on that note, goodbye.
Don't forget, you can get in touch with the show. You can email us at whatthefoepodcast@gmail.com. We are also on all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we are also on Patreon. For more information on all those things, you can go to our website at www.whatthefotravelpodcast.com.